We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Chicago baseball fans, will the Cubs start dealing core players? Will the Sox stick with the guys they have? When trade deadline news breaks, we're the place to be. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station. The
Score! Now we're in a transition a little bit.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tom Thayer has been in for Mully the last couple days, broadcasting live here from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. So first of all, I'd like to thank Tom for getting up early and
thanks for having me
and booking the show, because there's quite a good guest list you put together today. Thank you very much, and thanks to everyone else for contributing to the program. Thanks all for texting, calling, tweeting, and twitching. Most of all, thank you for listening. Thanks to Brian Gersh, who helped set us up on Twitch this morning. We were twitching all morning long, Tom, whether you realized it or not. We were on the Twitch feed. Also, thank you to our executive producer, Dustin Rhodes.
Eloy Jimenez, homer for the second time in his rehab stint. He's batting 296 in 7 games. When do you bring him up?
Chucky Jimenez! When do you bring him up? Yeah. He should be O'Hara Midway Airport right now.
Whoa.
I love Ozzy. Also, thank you to Ray Diaz.
Unagi is a state of total awareness. Okay? Only by achieving true Unagi can you be prepared for any danger that may befall you.
That's a great get there, Ray. Way to go. Now it's time for Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi. Hey, Dan and Layla. Morning.
What's happening?
Oh, we had a fun morning. Reminiscing a little Notre Dame reunion with Mike Golic and Tom Thayer about back in the day when Tom was a big bully offensive lineman to Mike Golic.
Mike Golic, yeah. And Crane Kenny?
Yes, the two of them. You know, it's a diverse student body there at Notre Dame.
I just think it shows that you just knew you had to exert dominance very early on.
That was Crane Kenny's time at Notre Dame as well?
Yeah, I used to see him in the weight room there and run him out of there when the swim team would come in to You know, the weight room when I got to Notre Dame, it was just a piece of crap. They like they had like wood benches and stuff. And I remember going to Dan Devine and I'm going, you got to change this. I was lifting at a better gym in a 2-car garage at Francis Rudiger's house, the younger brother of Rudy, who, you know, we had state of the art equipment at that time, just real metal weights and stuff. And so, yeah, that thing needed to change immediately.
So you were good friends with Rudy's younger brother?
The whole family, But yeah. The brother they referred to as Frank in the movie, he really gets an unfair shake. His real name is Francis, and he's an unbelievable guy. He still runs down in Joliet one of the best high school weightlifting programs for males and for boys and girls that are upcoming in sports and want to learn weightlifting. The guy is just second to none. He's a multiple time Olympic weightlifting champ. He's a former police officer, but you know, he's part of the Rudiger family has 15 kids in the family.
Right. Yeah.
And most of them are wrestlers. But Francis,
isn't that a rule in Joliet? You're not allowed to live there with fewer than 8 children.
No.
Don't they go around and check?
They had 8 girls.
Oh my God.
8 girls and 7 boys. So that Rudiger family was, you know, they're an awesome staple of Joliet, and all the other brothers have went on to coach high school wrestling programs. But
never a dull moment.
No.
We talked a lot of football today, but a lot of good baseball stuff last night with Gavin Sheets and the walk-off. Mm-hmm. And, well, the Cubs were, hard to watch.
Dreadful.
Really hard to watch them undo their season in the way that it's become undone.
And increasingly, you don't have to watch if you don't want to.
You know, it's funny because we mentioned Mark Grant talking earlier in the break. shout out to Joliet, but the idea of I learned on that broadcast working at that Mark Sweeney always said losing is contagious, winning is contagious. And I know we don't do a lot with the blanket sports statements, but it just looked that way last night, didn't it?
You know, Ditka used to say that all the time because Ditka used to want to win preseason games because he used to say losing is contagious and winning is contagious. And if you're become acceptive of the losses, no matter it's preseason or not, that's the way it's going to become part of your fabric. So
look at the 85 Bears preseason record.
Yeah.
Was it 1-3?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they didn't care.
No, but you know why?
But from that point on, it was win or else.
I don't think it kind of mattered until it's like, okay, let's turn this on. And that first game, if you remember, against Tampa Bay, the defense was bad.
Yeah, we were losing at halftime.
Tom remembers. Tom played 40 games that calendar year. That's no exaggeration, right, Tom? How many? What's the count? How many from January?
I started January 16th in the USFL, okay. And I ended January 26th the next year. And from the starting of the USA, it was because we had 18 regular season games.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we had the 4 preseason games. And then we had the 16 regular season games and then the playoffs. And so
that's
played
41,
in all of
41
them.
Games.
Yeah.
That's
too much football.
Disturbing. Like, yeah. Awesome. The effect, it is dumb. But the effect on the body, are you just laughing whenever you hear people talk about 17 games like it's a big deal?
Well, it can be done because there are examples. It can be done. You just think of going from the USFL in Arizona to driving immediately, then going to the training camp with your hometown team. You're like, I'm walking on air as I'm going out to practice with tears in my eyes because I have literally left a game in Arizona at Sun Devil Stadium on a Saturday night, drove straight through nonstop to Madison, Wisconsin, bought a scooter, and then drove it to Platteville and went to full pad practice the next morning.
And why did I just picture Dumb and Dumber Scooter? Just like so happy. The icicles on his nose.
When we have more time, I'll tell you about the dumbest part of it because that scooter at the end of training camp, Dicka said, okay, the rookies, you got to stay overnight and take the bus home. Veterans, you can leave tonight if you want to. So I told Ditka I had a ride home and I had to get out of Platteville. I drove my scooter, a Honda Elite 150, from Platteville, Wisconsin to Chicago.
Yes.
And so this is the best part about it. So about a quarter way through, a semi threw a rock up and hit me right in the forehead. And it hit on the bridge of my glasses. And so for some reason, I could hear, I could feel something hitting my nose while I was driving. And semis are beeping at me, yelling at me. I get home, and the rock had cut my forehead, and it was dripping blood, hitting my nose, and then spreading out in my chest. It looked like I had got shot in the chest when I got home
from
the school.
You didn't realize you were bleeding?
No, because it was such a subtle drip that was being like kind of blown apart. Listen, man. I had just gone through a hell of training camp and I wanted to get home. So the Dumb and Dumber, that was the dumbest.
You totally redeemed yourself.
That's the most football player story.
That is the footballiest football story ever. Right. So you get back and then you didn't miss a practice, did you?
No.
No.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. No. Oh, boy.
That scooter sounds pretty awesome. I can't believe you drove it on the highway like that. That's just...
Yes. I mean, it was like... going uphill, Dan, you've been to Platteville 100 times.
Made that drive many times.
The rolling hills, like going uphill, I could get it to about 43.
Yeah.
Going downhill, screaming, I could get it to about 54. But, you know, it was definitely hazardous.
1 year, I was making the trip back and forth and coming back to do updates and do reporting and then headed back. And sometimes, like barely getting home, I'd pack a bag and leave it in like George's update studio. And one time I had to do evening updates and then drive back and be ready for practice the next morning to cover it. So I was driving at night and it was around the time, and I don't know if it was mayflies or what the insect was in the farmland that was just blooming. And I drove my headlights. It looked like an absolute wall of gray. Like you could not see. There was no zero visibility. All insects, all splatting and splashing all over my car. Where several times I had to stop, and luckily I had the winter ice scraper out there. Just gobs of dead insects.
Scraping your windows of dead insects,
an inch thick. an inch thick, where you couldn't even use the wipers. I had to stop. I had to pull over. If I were to put my head on the side, my face would have been covered. And it was some sort of short-lived
cicada.
It wasn't a cicada. No. It was something like a mayfly or like a mayfly that they say in the cornfields. It would happen a couple of times, depending on conditions, depending on moisture conditions. Because I asked somebody about it, they're like, "Oh yeah, well, that them's the corn bugs you ran into." And I was like, "What?" Like, it was so nasty.
Which was the better camp town, Bourbonnais or Platteville?
Platteville.
I mean, Platteville, it had just the perfect housing for it, where you had the dorms, where you kind of were able to separate, you transferred to the practice field area. And then you get on your scooter and go downtown and have a selection of, you know, bars that you could go to. And, you know, you had like a 20-minute period from the conclusion of the night meetings until bed check. So it was, bam, get down there and see if you could have one or two beers, then get on your scooter.
Whereas Bourbonnais, it was restricted to a couple places.
Yeah, in Platteville, it's like a little college town where all this stuff is sort of walking distance from each other. And you had the KFC with the buffet.
Yep.
Everybody talks about this.
KFC buffet, man, with the livers and gizzards and the chocolate pudding. And
it's the Platteville Supper Club and the Pizzeria Uno. That was good. I can
remember.
Were you
there the night Ditka fell asleep at the Supper Club?
Yes.
What?
It's like the medium. This is before my time, but it was a famous story that Ditka would sit there and you know, it was like a traditionally off-the-record media night.
Yeah.
Where they would tell you the real stuff. You couldn't use any of it. Dave did it a couple times. And Ditka,
but he stayed awake.
Yes. He was drinking Bud Light with ice cubes in it. And Ditka, one time, he was telling stories, and the people looked over, and people looked back at Ditka, and he's asleep.
He fell asleep at the table the night of the Super Bowl ring distribution. He's up there giving out the Super Bowl rings after a mini camp, and he was sleeping at his table. Yeah.
Do you know people like that other than Ditka, for example, who just a face stop moving, they fall asleep?
I don't know anybody personally like that. I've seen people who have, you know, they're only, you know, a few minutes away from a nap. Yeah.
My great aunt was like that. Like she could fall asleep on like a slab picnic table outside. I'm like, what? How? How are you so gifted?
Narcolepsy is what it is.
No, she had a gift of sleeping anywhere. It was amazing.
But aren't you going to miss Bourbonnais a little bit this camp? I mean, the Bears report next Friday to Halas Hall. And Thursday, I think
it is. I will miss it, too. I think it's great support for the fan base there, that the 15,000 people would be able to get there. And you have the same guy that's the first one in line every single day, the most committed Bears fan. And you almost get to know his name because as you're walking out to practice, you expect to see him there in the corner. And it's not a big deal to see him, but he's freaking committed every day to being the first one in line.
And now it's a lottery, 1,000 fans, and you can only go once per camp, I think, as long as it's going to go on.
Do you think it goes back to Bourbonnais and this is the...
No.
No.
This is all what the NFL wants, control. I mean, it's bad for the fans, but it's good for the teams. I think players probably enjoy it. It's easier to control, even though I think coaches may miss the chemistry building opportunities.
But you know, like the trainers in the video department would spend almost a whole week transferring all their equipment down to Bourbonnais and then putting it all together, then doing all their obligations during camp, then tearing it all down, moving it back to Halas Hall, just like the trainers and all the guys. So I think it creates less work for those guys.
It was so great for those of us on the beat to develop relationships with everybody. Yeah. And having the trainers available then, the way it used to be, and I know HIPAA laws have changed and all that, but learning and being able to be fair about injuries and availabilities because you could talk to trainers and because they could say why somebody is going to go or isn't going to go. And it just being able to, even if it's on background, even if it's stuff you don't use. And I always say like why should the media want to know? So we can be fair. So we can get you and tell everybody what's really going on. And now there's such a gap. It's across pro sports between, you know, the conditions of these athletes and the bodies and how they are. We used to know. They used to want us to know. And the players wanted us to know.
Well, I mean, you look at the Brady noise because he tweaked his MCL and he never missed a practice, never missed a game. But then they're saying he's obligated to tell everybody about it.
Did he tweak it or tear it?
He sprained it.
Listen, he did. It's not a complete tear if he went out there and played 16 or, you know, all the way throughout the Super Bowl. It would have presented itself in a more aggravating way.
So has the repeating of the legend made the injury worse than it actually was? Because it sounds like it was something that, had it been a regular season situation, he never would have played.
I think if it was to that point where it could really affect his integrity as a dropback quarterback or an escaping out of the pocket or those types of things, I think you would have known more about it. I just think that for some reason, he's talked a little bit more courageously this offseason than ever before.
He's not with Belichick.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Is it? I mean, isn't that the
Coach is even bolder than he sounds. I mean, Bruce Arians is probably the boldest talking coach in the NFL right now. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So he's
certainly
not going to.
The most candid.
I don't know. Dan Campbell's going to give him a run for his money.
Okay. Right.
let's survey the new scene we've got here. That's a guy leaning into his bit.
Let's ask the football player of residence here. What do you make of when we all laugh at Dan Campbell? Because I think part of it is a bit. He has assembled an excellent staff, but then part of it is he's that guy too, right?
You know, again, we've all been around a lot of different head coaches throughout the course of our lifetime. You know, every new head coach tries to put his stamp on the team. I'm going to drive you guys into the ground. I'm going to run you till you drop. You can't do that anymore. There's veterans that will be begging for a day, you know, veteran day off by day three.
Coach, it's going to rain in here. You try to do some of that until when I do some of that, right?
And,
I
mean, you know,
I've heard players say that's not happening, Coach.
Right. It's not the Junction Boys. And, you know, Dan Campbell, you know, he's got that, you know, that tough guy, tight sleeve type of appearance. But, you know, you got to make sure that you earn the players on your side. Because if you go out there and you're doing drills that are unfair or you're doing things that are unrealistic to what's going to happen on the field, you're going to create a separation. Then you're going to have guys complaining. And with all the ex-players that he does have on the coaching staff, everybody's going to have their experiences and ideals how things should be done.
What I can't wait for when fans get to Halas Hall, this is going to, if they don't really understand Justin Fields' mania, if they don't really understand where this city is, the actual excitement level for this guy, they're going to find out once they get fans there, because I still don't think they get it. Even though Nagy says, yeah, I go to my kids' baseball tournaments and they're all coming up to me, oh, Justin Fields. It's like, I don't think they really understand how eager people are to see him play for the Bears.
Desperate, even?
Yeah, but it's like, this doesn't happen here. We don't get guys like this here. And Bears fans know it. This is so foreign to us to have an it guy like this. And we pretended in the past. We've pretended with Cade McNown. We sort of all agreed to pretend with Rex Grossman until the hopes are dashed. This is real. And everybody except maybe some people who actually run the Bears understand that, because those of us who've been here for 50 years know that this is different.
And Michigan fans.
Maybe that too.
You know, back in Platteville or back in Bourbonnais, say that they were going to practice on field one. So they probably had about 500 seats around field one, and some people are two or three fields away. These people are going to be right on top of the practice fields. They're going to have an opportunity to react verbally to every completion, incompletion, touchdown pass, or whatever every one of these quarterbacks are doing.
They're not there for Andy Dalton.
Right.
They're not getting in this lottery to go see Andy Dalton.
Well, I go back to how the league is already promoting these games. Who's the picture that we see when we talk about the Bears' first game of the season and everybody's discussing
number one.
It nationally?
Number
You're
one.
You're not seeing Andy Dalton in that.
QB2,
in that
number
frame.
One. Mm-hmm. What else you guys got today?
Well, we have a lot of baseball and talk about what happened last night. We've got Craig Calcaterra, who has league-wide thoughts and also a lawyer's perspective on the Zobrist story.
Oh my goodness.
My gosh. In the print edition of the Trib today, they devoted a full page to the latest details of everything that's going on. It is astonishing. As one of my friends said, he said, we're one shady hitman away from a noir film of what's going on in the details there. Sarah Langs is going to be part of baseball history tonight. She's going to join us. It's on MLB Game of the Week live on YouTube. It's going to be the first MLB game ever called by a broadcast team of all women. And she's going to be a part of that, the Rays and the Orioles tonight, Midday Midway. We're going to bring back some Anthony Rizzo sound. We're also going to deal with a local sports truth, I think, that, Layla, you unearthed.
We have to accept this as Chicagoans adjacent to the state of Wisconsin.
Yep.
And we
What's
have
going
to start
on tonight in Milwaukee?
We have it's to start it. Accepting okay. it tonight. It's okay. just not tonight.
Right.
Here's it might be in October.
Because here come the Brewers.
It might be in February.
Look out the Packers.
We have to accept this okay. today. Mm-hmm.
That's the first step.
Yep.
We're gonna, accepting it.
We're going to accept it. We're going to yep. confront it. And we're going to try to be okay with it. That's all part of what we're doing today. And who knows what else.
Have a great show.
Thank you very much.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.